Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm David Giustina, filling in for Joe Donahue today. More than 200 years after Thomas Jefferson proclaimed Lake George to be the most beautiful water he ever saw, the lake remains one of the clearest, cleanest lakes in the nation. But that doesn't mean it's without its challenges. In fact, invasive species, aging wastewater treatment plants and septic systems, stormwater runoff and winter road salt all pose very real threats to the long-term health of the lake's ecology and the Lake George region's economy. The Fund for Lake George is dedicated to preventing these threats from devastating the lake. Guided by data from the Jefferson Project, the world's most advanced environmental monitoring system, as well as additional fund research, the not-for-profit organization is leading a multifaceted science-to-solutions effort to keep the 32-mile-long tourism mecca and drinking water source clear of harmful algae blooms and other threats, and providing a roadmap for other lakeside communities across the country. Executive Director of the Fund for Lake George, Eric Tsai, and CEO of Fort William Henry Corporation in Lake George and Chair of the Fund's Council of Business Advisors, Kathy Flack-Munsold, join us to tell us more. Welcome, folks.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
It's so great to have you here. And, you know, our listeners, as you know, as public radio listeners, pay attention. They know about a lot of these issues. And it's not just located to our region, but it's good to talk about Lake George in this context. When just recently, I think we were seeing a number of algae blooms affecting areas not only around New York, but also down south. We see this a lot, and this can be dangerous.
Sure.
So tell us, what are the biggest risks in Lake George?
Well, I mean, I think you put your finger on public enemy number one. It's the nightmare scenario for Lake George. Were we to suffer a harmful algal bloom or a toxic algal outbreak, as they're also known, imagine one of the cleanest, clearest lakes in the world going from so clear to pea soup green. It would be, I mean, Kathy can speak to the economic impacts to her business and every business, but that's a big one.
And what causes it?
It's a bit of a mystery. I mean, there are some knowns, but there are also a lot of unknowns. There's no one-size-fits-all understanding of what causes a harmful algal bloom. But we're learning a lot through the Jefferson Project, through our partnership with IBM and RPI, to get to the bottom of what's causing, what makes a harmful algal bloom happen, what triggers it. And it's largely, if I may.
Go ahead, please.
Nutrient loading is a big factor. So literally feeding algae, if you will. It's like fertilizing your lawn, you're fertilizing the lake. And boom, if you put too much fertilizer on, you get an outbreak.
And what would this fertilizer be?
Well, it's coming from wastewater and stormwater. That's the one-two punch.
And they're feeding right off of that
and
growing.
Right off of that. And much to our benefit, because Lake George is so clear, there's very little living in the water column. So imagine when you look down and you can see many feet down into the lake, it's because there's very little suspended algae growing in the water. We've got to keep it that way.
Ken, before we get into some of the economics of this, can you share a little bit of the symptoms? I mean, I know people can get burning skin and rashes. Other things can happen. It can be dangerous to pets as well, right?
Sure. I mean, we hear all kinds of horror stories from other places, both marine and freshwater ecosystems. But people's dogs die when they drink the water or swim in the water. People do get very sick. People have been known to die from algal blooms if they're severe enough. So it's something we have to do everything humanly possible to avoid. And I think together at Lake George, we are really on track to doing just that.
Kathy, let's go on over to you. Let's talk about the fund, what it's doing to help, and this economic aspect of all of this.
Well, that's a really good subject for us to talk about, because really we look at the fund as a department within our company. They're our science department. When we do business in Lake George, we're always looking at the data and we're trying to figure out how to do business better. And we're doing that economically with a total understanding that if that lake's not clear and that's not clean, nobody's going to be living in Lake George. There'll be no businesses. So although we are not specific, we're not doing the tasks that the Fund for Lake George is, which is critical to our existence, you know, we support them and we use them as our science department. I have an HR department. I have a maintenance department. Now I have the ultimate in science departments. And the data they bring to the table really is appropriate data to make decisions from. And
so
that's what we need.
Let's talk about some of that information that comes in. How would it change you directing resources, for example, for maintenance?
Great question. Right now, as one of the Business Advisors Council, I'm actually on a committee, I'll call it, where we're addressing salt. and sure. the laying down of salt, because we'd love to do it the best way. And I've already talked to our president, Sam Luciano, and our maintenance director, and we are going to participate with a professional group that is giving standards to monitor, again, data. They'll monitor our equipment. They'll monitor the temperatures. They'll have a technology connection to us so they can say to us, okay, you should probably be putting down this much brine. You know, the next steps are not just dropping salt in a big pile, but it's management by brine, which is a significantly less use of salt.
We also hear about invasives because of people will take a boat from some other waterway and bring it into the lake. And there's all sorts of warnings about that. You're supposed to follow proper procedures. But would this be another thing where you have people inspecting and making sure these boats are free of invasives?
I can tell you that. We're doing that now.
Yeah.
So if I may, in Lake George, the strongest aquatic invasives prevention program east of the Mississippi. It's mandatory. Any trailered boat coming to Lake George has to be inspected. That's number one. Number two, if necessary, decontaminated. So we have, since that program was started several years ago, we have inspected and decontaminated over 140,000 boats. That is critical. Because you hit the nail on the head, David. The trailered boats are the vector, the chief vector. And so we have source waters from the Great Lakes to the Hudson River to Long Island Sound to a few lakes in New Jersey that are problematic. And they're all headed where? They're headed to the Queen of American Lakes. Mm-hmm. They want a boat on the Queen of American Lakes. But what are they bringing with them? Unwittingly. They're not doing this with any knowledge. Invasive species.
But like we always hear this cliche, you know, the head bone's connected to the neck bone connected to, you know.
That's right.
And that's really what's happening. We see this with firewood, for example, people transporting wood across areas and bringing the beetles and the other things into these environments. And they have to know about this first before they can do anything.
They do. So there's a big education component, but you can educate people, but you have to also give them the wherewithal to do the right thing. And that's what we're doing at Lake George.
And what's the Jefferson Project?
The ultimate intelligence, making us the smartest lake truly in the universe at this point, and the next step for many other lakes that need to improve themselves.
So what does this involve? What are the basic criteria?
Picking
here?
Up on what Kathy said, we set out, this was in 2013, to study Lake George as never before, from physics to fish, to create what is arguably the most unique partnership, I think, in the world, bringing one of the largest tech companies in the world, IBM, together with a major world-leading research institute, RPI, and a small but very nimble, very agile conservation group, the Fund for Lake George, to focus on one purpose, applying the very best science and technology to inform the sustained protection of Lake George for generations to come. There's nothing like it in the world, and this year we proclaimed at our annual meeting that Lake George is now the world's smartest lake.
Mm. Well, especially if RPI students or faculty are involved. Yes. Are we looking at things like the pH level of the lake? I mean, what kind of experiments, what kind of things are going on?
Sure. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, from physics to fish, everything from meteorology, so the weather, which is increasingly a huge factor when we think of climate change.
And levels of the lake, right? Because you've got to monitor the levels.
Levels of the lake. We're looking at salt loading into the lake, as Kathy mentioned. What is growing in the water column? What's growing closer to shore? We're seeing more and more algae closer to shore. Why is that? What are the impacts? What are the influences causing these issues? And then, most importantly, what is the follow-up? What do we do to solve the problems that science is identifying, and how do we do it in partnership with businesses, with local government officials? That's the key to this. And how, if necessary, do we bring our own money to the table? Real skin in the game. I mentioned the invasives prevention program. The reason that program is still underway and got started is because folks from the region, the fund, municipal governments, et cetera, were willing to step up and pay for half the cost of that program, which continues to this day.
Well, let's not waste any more time. Listen, we have a very generous audience of listeners out there, and they are ripe to help their societies and their communities. How can Lake George lovers help? WAMC listening audience often seeks out this station to find out what's going on in the community. So let folks in our community know how they can help.
Sure. Well, if I may, this will be sounds self-promotional, but it is. It's for the lake. The fund has launched something we are calling the Forever Fund campaign, and it's dedicated to raising $10 million to ensure that we have the resources to protect Lake George forever, right? That's the goal. We have the science. We now have the world's smartest lake. We are on track to realizing our goal of sustained protection of Lake George on all major fronts. And we have the ability to also incorporate the influence of climate change. So we have all the pieces of the puzzle, and we have an incredibly diverse constituency as represented here with Kathy and myself. So contributing to the Forever Fund at this time would probably be at any level, just by going to fundforlakegeorge.org to learn more about the fund, what we do, how we do it, the partners we're working with, the science we're bringing to bear on the issues to make Lake George the global model for what it takes to protect a threatened ecosystem under great pressure, increasing pressure. That would be the number one thing people could do.
Fundforlakegeorge.org to help out. I assume that you're seeking any possible funding, grant funding, government funding, and public funding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would also suggest that all of the people that love Lake George continue to work with the local legislators. They've been wonderful. The governor has been wonderful, recognizing that this is the way to literally solve water problems around the world. So keep after your legislators to support what the needs are in Lake George. We have a sewer plant need right now that we've been asking for help, and everyone should keep asking their legislators to support us.
And most importantly, get outside. Go on up to Lake George.
It's
get on the mini ha
right
ha.
Yeah. Oh.
Take
now,
a ride.
You know,
that,
there you go. That's right.
Right.
Support the businesses of Lake George. And Kathy raised a really important point. The state has been a true partner and champion in this. And we would be remiss in not acknowledging the critical role they play going forward.
Well, let me acknowledge you and thank you. To learn more, visit fundforlakegeorge.org. Eric Tsai is the executive director of the Fund for Lake George. Kathy Flack Munsell is CEO of Fort William Henry Corp. in Lake George and chair of the Fund's Council of Business Advisors. Thank you both for being here today and sharing with us.
Thank you so much,
David. Thank you for having
us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.